This week on the season premiere of Dog Pound Report, we break down all the changes in the Browns offseason, hear what Robert Griffin III had to say about coming to Cleveland, and we debate the choices the Browns have with the second overall pick in the NFL draft.
Welcome to another season of Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. This man right here is Nathan Zagura, and right next to him, Super Bowl champion linebacker and former Buckeye, Matt Wilhelm. Yes. Andrew Gribble will be here in just a few moments. We'll do a little debate with him. Are you guys ready? We're in this thing now till at least January.
I know. I'm excited. You know, the players are back in the building, so there's energy in Berea, and now it's time to get back to a little Dog Pound Report.
I'm just excited to have this seat every week next to you guys until it gets real here in September.
Welcome. Welcome to the varsity.
Thank you.
It's good to have you. Play JV
right,
way too
it is right.
All right, after arriving in Berea last week, Joel Bitonio stopped by Cleveland Browns Daily to discuss some of the changes to the strength and conditioning staff. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it's just what you said. I mean, we have our own guy. You know, there's, I think, maybe 12 or 13 offensive linemen right now. And we have one guy that just works with us. You know, we've been with him the whole time when we're running and stuff. So we're out there with the offense, but it's different groups, you know, and we're doing our own thing as an O-line because it's different. I mean, we're probably never going to run, you know, 50, 60 yards at a time, most likely. But, you know, we're more playing in a confined area, so we're kind of working on those things. And we go to lift, you know, we're doing different lifts and stuff, and I really like that.
All right, plenty of new faces coming back into the building this week. You got a new head coach, and I would say it's like walking into the office for the first time with a new boss. What was the mood like in Berea this week, boys?
A lot of energy, and I've talked to a couple of my Brown sources who say that, you know, they expected Hugh Jackson to be good with the players. He's been even better than they expected, and everybody says he can talk to us, he knows how to relate to us and make us feel special, but when he goes up in front of the room, he can command that room, and you see that this is a guy who's going to demand that we go out there and every day work hard to be successful.
I think when it comes to Hugh Jackson, while, again, he's going to be a player's coach, but he's going to be, you know, very demanding on his players, there's some uncomfortability as you meet these coaches because an impression is going to be made by these players and wanting to be made. You're going to be on time, you're going to show up, you're going to work hard, you're going to be accountable in those meeting rooms to make an impression on those coaches, because after a 3-13 season and a lot of turnover, there's not a lot of guys that can actually say that they're safe on this roster.
What does player's coach mean, though? Does that mean he's going to sit down in the cafeteria and eat with you? I mean, what does that mean? When
it could be, and Nathan and I discussed it on Cleveland Browns Daily, it's everything that Mike Tomlin means to the Pittsburgh Steelers. When he needs to bring the hammer down, those players listen, and they're scared when he does, but yet he's the first person that runs out 5-7 yards on the field to give you that high five when you see through a plan that you put in that week.
And you talked about it, too. Hugh Jackson's a guy who can walk through the locker room, talk with any of these players, relate to them, and we maybe didn't have that in the past. Yeah. And so that's a powerful thing. And one of the words that everybody's used to describe him, again, not only the command room, the charisma, but that it's fun. He makes coming to work fun, even though you're going to work harder, maybe, than the Browns have ever worked in the past.
We're already having fun, and we're only 3 minutes into this season.
Yeah.
Head coach Hugh Jackson spoke to the media on Wednesday. He couldn't have been happier with how the first few months have gone with the new stuff. Here's your new head coach.
I feel very comfortable with the direction of our organization, you know, from top down. I'm talking about from Jimmy to D to Sashi to Paul with Andrew. We've been in lockstep with everything we've done. I think our football team understands where we are and what we need to do. And what we need to do is just put our head down and work. You know, and we'll let everybody else talk about all the other things that are going on. We're only interested in working and getting better.
And I know it's the off season, and we've got all this great energy, but I can't wait to see what this looks like on the field. I can't wait to see what happens with the draft. I mean, there's a genuine energy from top to bottom that it feels like this is right. Things feel right.
There's a clear plan. And we know what that plan is. We've seen the way that they've approached free agency, the way that they have made some cuts with some of the older players on this team. There's clearly a plan from Sashi Brown to Paul DePodesta, Hugh Jackson, all on the same page. And then you look at this staff. More than 190 years of coaching experience on this staff. That's amazing to me, and that's a lot different than what we've had in the past by more than 100 years. So this is a staff that's going to come in. They've got 8 Super Bowls between them that they know what they're doing and I think are the right kind of people to lay this foundation and build this team from the ground up.
Absolutely, and for me as a player, I never really got into the owner, general manager, how that all really works. I just stayed downstairs and took care of the football aspect. But being on this side of the business, what it seems to me is Jimmy Haslam and D. Haslam's commitment to get it right. They're going to see through the plan that Nathan just highlighted with Sashi Brown, with Paul DePodesta. Nathan and I have also talked a lot about what we do this offseason is going to be very similar to what we do next year. We're going to get younger. We're going to be judicious with our spending and build through the draft via the many ways that other teams do as well.
It's a plan, and it may not feel great to fans right away, but it feels like there's a plan there. I go back to the Paul DePodesta story when he was in Indianapolis, when he was leaving the airport, and he got guys ripping him behind him. But as long as you stick to your plan and you watch this thing, I just want to see something play out for 2 or 3 years here, and we can say, yes, this worked, or no, it didn't, and you got to do something different. Browns releasing their preseason schedule earlier this week. And it's time to take a look at how that preseason tilt will play out. Boys, what do you think about this? At the Packers, your own stomping grounds there, Matt. Lambeau Field to take on Aaron Rodgers the first week of the preseason. Then you've got the Falcons back to Tampa Bay and then home against the Bears. So some teams we're used to seeing in the preseason with one nationally televised game, all the other games right here on News Channel 5.
Yeah, I like the schedule. I think you're going back to Tampa Bay. That's something you did last year. Have an opportunity to kind of measure yourself against that team again. And I think it'll be good for our quarterbacks. Jameis Winston, a guy who's certainly in the spotlight in his second season. And we'll see for the Browns, could it be a rookie down there? RG3, Josh McCown, we don't know who will be there. But I think that's obviously the marquee game, game three of the preseason. And for me personally, to go to the last stadium you called your home stadium,
right,
when you were a Super Bowl champion of the world, historic Lambeau Field, I'm excited for that.
It's going to be very special. I mean, there's not a lot of onus going to be put on that first preseason game, at least not for the guys that we think are going to be the starters for the Cleveland Browns. But the fact that they're going to get to enjoy Lambeau Field for what it is, make the trip up there, and see some of the young players play. And I think that Atlanta in week two of the preseason is going to be a challenge with Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman.
Alex Mack,
you know, again, against the Cleveland Browns. That's a great point. So it's going to be very, but again, I like Winston in year two. They're a franchise that midseason last year with Winston as a rookie took a step, but then fell back a little bit. So it's going to be a challenge.
All right, Cam Irving is putting on the work, or at least doing the work in the weight room these days, to improve on his rookie season. He's not the only one, but Joel Bentonio talking about that this week on Cleveland Browns Daily.
He's been out there, and he's been running hard, and he's came in good shape, and he just seems like he's ready to work. You know, he's been lifting with me and John, and it, you know, it's just a good group of guys that we've been kind of pushing ourselves, and it's I like his mentality. You know, we'll see where it goes out. We got OTAs, we got mini camps and stuff coming up, but he seems like he wants to take that next step and kind of knows what he needs to do to get there.
If you're Cam Irving, guys, I think you've got to approach, no matter what any coach tells you, the center job is mine. I'm going to go out and grab it and take it.
Absolutely. Listen, you're drafted 19th overall in the 2015 NFL draft. This is your time now. Alex Mack is gone. One of the reasons they felt comfortable letting Alex Mack go is Cam Irving. He worked on his body this offseason. He definitely looks better put together than he did a year ago. He knows he needs to improve his functional strength. This is his opportunity to take over a job that could be his for a decade or more.
I want to step ahead, though, real quick, because Barkevious Mingo is another guy,
yes,
that has been working out, and we hear all the national reports. You guys saw him this week. Is he bigger?
He is bigger. We've had Christian Kirksey in studio, Joel Bitonio in studio. Everyone referenced that he's bigger, and this is what happens. You've got a guy in Cam Irving who's approaching his first professional offseason, saw that where his game stood as a rookie wasn't good enough, so we're going to see those improvements and hope to continue to see those improvements from him. But Barkevious Mingo, in a contract year, he wants to go get paid, whether it's here in Cleveland or somewhere else. He wants to see through where he was drafted in this Cleveland uniform.
And they're going to use him right. Or they're going to give him the opportunity to be what he was supposed to be, and that's a pass rusher. You go back 3 years ago, Ray Horton's first year here, Barkevious Mingo's rookie year. He came out of the gates getting to the quarterback. Now, it faded as the season went, but that was the most effective he was at getting to the quarterback in his NFL career. They're going to give him that opportunity. So between Mingo, Orchard, and Paul Kruger, they're going to try to get after the quarterback in this Ray Horton defense.
All right, while we're talking about guys stepping up, a lot of players trying to improve in the offseason, but they had success on special teams during their first season. Some of those experiences kind of shaping the way they're playing. They saw a lot of it in the preseason, and special teams coordinator Chris Tabor is expecting more from those guys than just special teams this year.
Every time I go in the classroom and teach something on film or I go out onto the field, that is my classroom. If I can help a player get better on the field and off the field, then I feel like I'm doing my job. So I still consider myself, I don't consider myself a coach, I consider myself an educator.
I just want to bring this up real quick. He is still here.
He's a cucaracha.
I think he's great.
Absolutely.
He's phenomenal. How does he keep surviving? I'm just being honest.
Because he's very good at his job, and it's one place where Hugh Jackson comes in, or Mike Pettine came in, or Rob Chudzinski came in, and they said, we don't need to make a change here. This is the part of the team that is very, very solid, talking about the special teams, and that's why Chris Tabor's still here.
And I think you look at the core of guys that he's played with, you know, Craig Robertson, who has now left, Christian Kirksey, he's a guy we're going to focus on here, there, coming up. But I think he just really is a great teacher. He's seeks out those players that are going to play a huge role in special teams, and they gravitate to him as much as he gravitates to them.
And the other thing you know firsthand as a guy who played teams in your NFL career is the special teams coordinator works with guys on both sides of the ball. Yeah. So if you want to have some semblance of continuity on your roster on both sides of the ball, you keep that special teams coordinator who's done a great job, and that's why Chris Tabor's still here.
All right, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about some of these guys that'll have a chance to step up. Still plenty more on the Dog Pound Report straight ahead. Stick around.
Coming up on Dog Pound Report, we find out about the Browns' free agent acquisitions this offseason and what was Gary Barnidge doing with Pittsburgh Steeler D'Angelo Williams.
And welcome back to Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelms hanging out over there. Time now to dive into RG3. The Browns signed a former first-round pick a couple of weeks ago. Questions have been asked about the type of offense the Browns might run this season. RG3, though, is not worried about that at all.
No, I mean, I think, like I said, we're going to run the best offense that we can for the personnel that we have. And, that's why they call him coach. And he'll put us in positions to be successful, and I think everybody trusts that. Once we get out and are able to run some plays, and they'll figure out, hey, this is what we do best, and that's what we'll run.
Boy, when they signed RG3, I just said win, win, win. Win if he's trying to, you know, bring his career back in order. Win for the Browns if it works. I don't see anything negative about this, which I just keep my fingers crossed because I'm looking forward to watching him play in the fall.
If you're a team that has been searching for a franchise quarterback since 1999, why not take a shot on a guy like RG3, former number 2 overall pick? By the way, rookie of the year in the National Football League. So this is a guy who's played at a very high level. He fell on tough times in Washington. Some of it was his fault. Some of it was beyond his control. So you're taking a swing at the plate, and the way this contract is structured, basically you're in a one-year deal saying, RG3, here you are with Hugh Jackson, who's gotten the best out of every quarterback he's ever worked with. We're going to try to take the best out of your immense talents, the talents that made you the number 2 overall pick in the draft, and see what we can do. Low risk, high potential reward if you're the Browns.
Yes, and just hearing what Jay Gruden said, you know, of RG3 once he was essentially released by the Washington Redskins, and there was really no ill will. Kirk Cousins just naturally beat him out in that scheme. And then hearing from some of the local media there in Washington about the drama that so many people have a perception that RG3 has created was overblown inside that locker room and overblown from a fan base perspective. He just simply needs to dedicate himself to his craft, which is being a professional athlete, and why not have it happen, as you said, with a low risk, high reward here in a Cleveland Browns uniform?
Yeah, forget about the marketing. Just go out there and play, because those same folks in Washington that are saying that also when things were good, they were really
yes, they were.
Good. So go out there and win. We'll all have all kinds of fun. RG3 wasn't the only free agent signing this offseason. Demario Davis, former Jets linebacker, looking to bolster the Browns' defense, leading by example.
I mean, as an inside backer, you have to just be able to run and tackle. You got to be able to come downhill. You got to know how to fit up, where you're supposed to be, being in the right spot. It's kind of on linebackers to kind of lead by example. You're kind of the quarterback of the defense, so you got to just be ready to play at a high standard, and I just try to bring attitude and effort to wherever I'm at, whatever the situation is, and I feel like if I can do my job at a high level, that's all I can be accountable for.
Best news about him is that the Browns quarterbacks don't have to see him on Sunday, right?
Of course, Josh McCown. We all remember that hit as he went in the end zone. This guy's a former third-round pick out of Arkansas State. Started 48 straight games over the last 3 years for the New York Jets, racking up over 100 tackles in each of those seasons. Led the team with 115 last year. 27 years old. Fits the profile of exactly what they're looking for in this kind of new Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta era. I like this signing. This guy who takes pride being a run stopper, being physical. And we've already talked to Christian Kirksey. Right. He already likes this guy.
Yes, I love the fact that he's a high-energy guy. He's a physical football player. And what I really love about him is how productive he was in a very successful Jets defense, both under Rex Ryan and Todd Bowles as head coach. It's a defense that plays physical, that plays downhill, and something that we've been missing, our ability to stop the run. And we hope Ray Horton and Demario Davis bring that back.
Raheem Moore, too.
Listen, this was a guy when he came out of college at UCLA where he was considered one of the best defensive backs in the nation, goes in the second round, plays on playoff defenses in Denver, goes to Houston, falls on hard times. Again, another low-risk, high-potential reward. 26 years old. This is a guy who's got 9 interceptions, 22 passes defensed in the NFL, who has played at a high level at times. Last year went to Houston. It was a disaster. He wasn't even active the second half of the season. But he's got talent, and he's coming in. He's going to compete with Jordan Poyer to replace Tashaun Gibson. So, again, no risk, potential upside, young, fits the
profile. Sure, and I love both these signings because as we've got rid of expensive, very old veterans and added guys right in the middle of their prime with a lot to prove.
Yeah.
The guys that Hugh Jackson wants to coach are the guys that have a lot to prove with a chip on their shoulder. And I think Hugh, because of how he was wronged in Oakland, probably has that same chip.
Competition. That's the word that keeps coming back to me on all these signings. All right, so much more to do on the show here on the Dog Pound Report. Matt, thank you for being here as well.
Got it. Thank
you. We're back with more right after this.
Next on Dog Pound Report, we debate what the Browns should do at number two in the 2016 NFL Draft and watch as Gary Barnidge plays nice in the offseason.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us now, our good buddy, Andrew Gribble, the Mad Scribble.
You Sir Andrew.
You did that, right?
No, I didn't do that. That's Sir Andrew Gribble.
You had
He's been knighted
that.
In
that's,
England.
That smells like
The number of nicknames that I've had ever since birth, that you can't count them. I mean, there's too many. I just embrace them as they come.
You're still grown.
All right, speaking of embracing, let's embrace a little bit of debate here, especially some topics. So, Ron and team, I'm going to throw out the topic. You two guys are going to go at it. First, let's start with RG3 on the roster. You now have Josh McCown. What do you do with Josh McCown? Go.
Well, I'm going to give a spoiler alert. I think they're going to draft a quarterback at number two. At least that's what I want them to do. So in that scenario, I think you give Josh McCown the opportunity to pursue a championship, try to work out a trade for him with maybe the Denver Broncos, the New York Jets, teams that need quarterbacks, because you don't need RG3, Josh McCown, and a high-profile rookie. I think it's a little redundant, too much money there. I think with RG3, you're getting a guy at the same salary level who's been to the playoffs, who's former Heisman Trophy winner, rookie of the year, and you're getting a guy 10 years younger than Josh McCown.
Great.
Listen, I agree in that if Josh McCown wants to go somewhere with a potential start, you make a move, let him get a place to work at. But I also think if he wants to be here, there's no loss in keeping him here.
I love
He's a
Josh
great
McCown.
Locker room presence. He's a great mentor for these guys. I think Robert Griffin III will be competing with whomever is drafted at that potential number two spot. I just think he's a great mentor. He's faced awkward situations in the past this past year. He knows his role. He's not going to be grumpy, upset if he's not the starting quarterback. Just a great guy to have around your team, and I think he's worth whatever you're paying for that.
Let me throw this in here real quick. Okay, question, and I'm just saying this from a fan's perspective. I want RG3 to be able to start all the time. He hasn't really made it through a season very healthy. That's an issue. And money doesn't seem to be an issue. There's plenty of salary cap. Keep McCown.
Well, listen, I want RG3 to get as many reps as possible. I want our quarterback that we draft to get as many reps as possible. There are only so many reps to go around. And there's only there. Yes, the money's there, but you can use that as an asset in the future. You can make a trade with a guy like Josh McCown. So he's an asset to this organization because of who he is and what he represents. But at the same time, we're planning for the future. And our future does not include many 36-year-olds.
All right, I'll give you the last word on this.
I just think whatever you get for him in return is not maybe worth the intangibles he can provide in the locker room. Maybe he's worth a 6th or 7th conditional pick. I'd rather keep him around, let him rub off on the other quarterback.
Next topic, are we drafting a quarterback at number two? Yes or no?
I will pound the table for us to draft a quarterback. The reason the Browns are where they are is a lack of a franchise quarterback, and I'm taking Jared Goff, quarterback out of California. Jared Goff is the guy that I think is going to lead the Browns to the future. He did it at Cal, where they started off 1-11 his first year. They finish up 8-5. He's been part of a rebuild. He wins how I want a quarterback to win, as the Macho Man Randy Savage lets us know. This is a guy who, from the pocket, processes pre-snap, post-snap effectively, delivers the football on time, can make all the throws.
Taking a quarterback, yes or no, and who are you taking, Goff or Wentz?
I like Goff a little bit better than Wentz. Obviously not as much as Nathan does, as we've seen from the last few months, but I just think that best player available may not apply to that quarterback position at number two. I think there are a couple players that fit some big needs on the Browns defense. Jalen Ramsey in particular from Florida State, there's been a lot of loss in the secondary. He can come in, be a special player in the defensive backfield like Patrick Peterson. I also think there's some value in potentially trading out of that number two pick. This is a team that needs to acquire assets. That number two pick can be very valuable, especially for teams like the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Rams, who may be nervous about quarterback and want to trade up and overpay you for it.
All right, you got to draft a quarterback at two. Which one are you taking? If they say, we want one of these two, who is it?
You got to go, I would think, Eileen Goff with that, just like Nathan. I have some concerns, though, about the adaptability with his offensive background. Played 99% out of the shotgun, a real fast-paced offense. He's going to need to adapt to pro-style offense, change. Carson Wentz worries me a little bit just because the lack of – he only started 18 games and it was at a lower level. I know he fits that prototypical mold, but I think Goff is the guy who's maybe more ready. Wentz has a little bit more upside, but I lean a little Goff.
Just pick a quarterback. That's all you can do. Tell me the quarterback you're taking if you got to take one.
Jared Goff. There's no question in my mind.
I just want to make sure you're on the
record.
What if it's not a quarterback and somebody's sitting there?
I'm taking a quarterback. It doesn't matter.
What if we don't take a quarterback?
You're asking me.
Who's
I'm taking a quarterback.
Who's your next best player on the board outside?
Then I'll trade back.
Is it Tunsil? Who is it?
Then I'll trade back.
You're trading.
I would take DeForest Buckner if I stayed there because I think he brings what we need as a 3-4 end.
Who are you taking?
I don't think you can ignore Laremy Tunsil because even though you have your left tackle in Joe Thomas, Laremy Tunsil is a guy that is kind of a once every kind of 5 years left tackle prospect. You can maybe start him on at right tackle. You have your left tackle for the future, a potential 12 to 15-year guy in the NFL.
This is the only thing I have to say about that. We've had the best left tackle in football. It hasn't translated to any winning at all. Not one winning season. We need guys that translate to winning. That's guys who either score or stop opposing quarterbacks, period.
You look back at the past, what happened to David Carr, Tim Couch. If you don't have an offensive line around a young quarterback, it can really stunt their development. If you load up on that offensive line, make the environment as great as you can for a quarterback.
That's all right, get the ball out quick.
I listen to your debate, and like two good politicians, I still feel like I want somebody that they're going to draft at number two that can play day one. I don't care. If it's quarterback, then it's quarterback. I want somebody day one. What's on ClevelandBrowns.com?
Well, we're covering the draft nonstop in every way possible. It's coming up. It's only a few weeks away. We're breaking down all the possibilities, not just at number two, but number 32, which is a very intriguing pick the Browns have on day two.
All right, Gribbs, awesome job. We'll make sure we read you. ClevelandBrowns.com. I love this debate stuff. It's awesome. More to come on Dog Pound Report. Stick around.
After the break, we discuss D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage's recent social media posts. You don't want to miss it.
That meet swaggers.
All right, Nathan, you have to explain this as we wrap up Dog Pound Report this week. Can you explain to me what Gary Barnage is doing? And if my eyes aren't deceiving me, that's a stealer.
This is a bromance here. These are two guys that became best friends when they were on the Carolina Panthers. That extends today. They go to WrestleMania together every year, as you see with their shirts there. But you know what? That friendship is going to kind of be put on its ear come this fall because the Browns know they have to beat the Steelers to get where they want.
All right, at least Gary won in tic-tac-toe. That, I can live with that. All right.
That's a sign.
Let's do this next week. The draft, just 18 days away. We'll see you next Sunday morning.